and welcome to the Tech Tips webinar series presented by the U.S. Small Business Administration and Microsoft. I'm Adalberto Quijada, Director of the SBA's Santa Ana District Office. The SBA's simple but important mission is to help people start and grow businesses that create jobs and power our economy forward. We do this by providing billions of dollars in access to capital, working to ensure small businesses earn their fair share of federal contracts, and by funding a nationwide network of mentors and experts in every field of business. To find your local resources, please visit sba.gov. Small business owners need to understand the importance of technology in running profitable and efficient ventures. That's why I am very pleased my office led the effort to establish this partnership with Microsoft as we present a series of webinars to help you utilize technology in running and growing your business. We're proud to inform, educate, and connect entrepreneurs, and we thank you for viewing today's webinar.
Good afternoon. My name is Sherman Krantzer, and I'm the Senior Product Development Manager for Microsoft. I want to say thank you very much for coming today to talk to us or listen to us talk about something that is incredibly important to small business, and that's really cybersecurity, awareness, planning, and response. Part of our message today is how to deal with cyber attacks or cyber threats. And to kind of, you know, before we kind of get into setting the stage, what I'd like to do is introduce a person who's a dear friend of mine and an absolute expert in the industry. And we're actually really, really thrilled and proud to have him here. His name is Mark Essien, and I'd like to go ahead and introduce him now. Mark?
Thank you, Sherman. Again, my name is Mark Essien. I'm president of KME Systems, and we're a managed service provider located here in Southern California. I've got quite a few years of experience dealing across the board in technology and assisting clients to protect their data and make sure that they stay in business by assuring, again, business continuity. I've worked with several manufacturers on their advisory boards and, again, have quite a bit of experience in this area, and I hope we address some of your questions and concerns today.
Thanks, Mark. So let's set the stage here today. You know, 40% of all small businesses in the United States close within 6 months of being breached by a cyber attack. And that's not necessarily due to losing all their information or not being able to get back online. It has to do with the fines that are associated with it. So about a year and a half ago, I actually did a presentation actually with Mark on cybersecurity at a local association, and we spoke in front of, you know, about 20 different very powerful CEOs throughout the region, and we talked about how to prevent data breaches. Well, what's very interesting is the very next day I received a call from one of the CEOs of this large firm, over 200 employees, and in a panic, they were asking, Sherman, hey, do you know anybody that can help us out? We've just been breached. And I said, wow, that's amazing that, you know, I'm so sorry to hear that, but, you know, tell me a little bit more about what's going on. Through the conversation, we found out that, you know, they thought that they were absolutely secure. Their IT department thought that they had the necessary protocols in place to prevent a cyber attack or a breach. And then secondly, they thought that they were too small to be attacked. And that's what's really important here, is whether you're a micro business, where you're a, you know, one person shop, or you have up to 500 employees, you're finding that 40% of all cyber attacks are actually on small business because they know their networks are put together in a way that might not be so robust. And so today, you know, we're gonna talk about how, you know, we helped that company, or how actually Mark helped that company. But that company also lost millions of dollars in revenue, not to mention they lost the customer data records. They lost their conversations with their customers, billing, accounting, all these different things they ended up losing. But with the help of Mark and his team, they were able to actually put it all back together and actually implement things that actually increased their security awareness, not only within their infrastructure, but also within their employees. Cybersecurity is an absolute must learn, and we are proud that, you know, you're here today, and we hope to share with you some great ideas. So I'm going to turn it back over to Mark and see. Mark, do you have any other color that you want to add to that particular situation that occurred?
I do, Sherman, and I appreciate the opportunity to discuss it. I want to stress very much the one thing that Sherman just said. The customer felt they were fully protected before they even reached out to us. They had gone through and done some work, and they felt we are protected, but they just were not aware of certain external threats that were happening to their firm. And unfortunately, the only way to put it is it bit them hard. So we were glad to assist them and then develop a plan to work around the things that were going to potentially cause them grief in the future so that it just obviously would not happen again. So quite a few times people ask me, just how big is the problem? And you can see there were estimated over 600 million records exposed from data breaches in 2015. That record could be healthcare, that record could be your personal expenses. It's not a good thing, obviously. And what some people are genuinely unaware of, that employees are becoming a biggest threat. Actually, they are the biggest threat today. Now, that's not to say your employees are malicious. That does happen. But if they're not properly educated and they don't understand the dynamics of IT in your organization or some of your compliance needs, et cetera, they could be negligent, and that will be a leading cause of concern this year. It's only going to get worse as the Internet of Things, some of you may be aware of, and think of something as simple as a thermostat inside your home that is connected to your internet, or a camera in your office that is connected to the internet. There may be information inside your firm or your home you just don't want to have disclosed. So think of all those devices that are coming online right now. They're great, I'm not against those devices, but they just need to be viewed very carefully. And owners and executives have to view this problem as a serious business issue and not just an IT concern. It's not enough to say, yep, my IT people got it covered, we've got a firewall installed, we know what we're doing. It has to be a constant review of what's happening inside of your enterprise from the top-down level so people understand and take it seriously. So, highlighted breaches of 2016, I just picked up a couple. You can see there are some names on there. This is publicly available information. But you will see I get a couple categories here, malicious outsider and malicious insider. And then there's in the US, it's foreign. And it's happening every single day, these data breaches. And it's a big issue for all of these companies certainly listed here. But it's all types and it's all sizes of businesses. And if you take anything away from this presentation, it's that you can be a target of someone that wants to get information out of your firm. So government entities are also being attacked. We've all heard the stories of information being leaked or police departments getting ransomware, et cetera. So it is across the board that there are data breaches that are happening.
So, Mark, you know, looking at that, you know, it shows that we have some really large organizations out there. But, you know, we don't want to mitigate the fact that, you know, that's just showing some of the large ones. But there are a lot of small businesses out there that are being breached because of the lax security environment. Is that correct?
You're absolutely right, Sherman. It happens on a daily basis. People may not understand that they have to protect credit cards. Not everyone has the new chips put into their credit card readers, the chip reader, I should say. It's simple information. If you're a healthcare provider or you have other types of compliance that you have to adhere to, and if an employee just accidentally leaks information or sends an email with a social security number, even if you're a single person business, you have to be aware of these concerns and potential loss of your notebook or of your PC in order to protect that information. You must genuinely be aware of these issues.
Okay.
So one of the interesting stats is over 40% of small businesses will close within 6 months if they haven't properly protected their business. And that could be from loss of customer confidence. If you are taking credit cards or you have other compliance issues, if people lose faith in your ability to maintain the confidentiality of your information, you're going to close. It's going to be a big problem. So that's a big reason why we think you should definitely care and not just dismiss security out of hand. The average cyber attack to a small business in 2014 was over $20,000. There's just a lot of things that you need to do when it happens and you disclose things you have to do regulatory wise. Again, if you're in compliance, there may be issues that you have to provide credit card monitoring, etc., etc. So it was $20,000 was the estimated attack. And the big one is you have legal and privacy obligations. State and federal regulators have stepped up efforts so companies properly respond to a data breach and fines are happening. Now, this is to make sure that you take your burden properly, that you understand what you need to do with this information and protect it. It is incumbent upon you to recognize it, the legal and privacy obligations for your firm. So one of the things that we say again is small business is a prime target. And we always hear security by obscurity. No one knows who I am. I'm too small. I'm not really doing anything. It's not that big a deal. That's not an option for you. It used to be in the past that you could get away with it, stick your head in the sand, but it is now a very big issue, especially again if you're in compliance, because criminals know that small and mid-sized businesses believe they are safe or will simply take their chances. So again, you have a compliance issue if you're in a regulated industry. You also have to deal with perception of your customers that you're protecting their data. So people will say, gee, Mark, I'm just a small business. Is this really that important? And I give them a resounding yes. Do you want to stay in business? It's a big deal. And I understand that you have a limited budget to spend on things. That's the reality of the world. But your IT department or your IT person, or if you are your IT person yourself, you can't be in denial about the things that are genuinely going to affect you. It is an as important part of your business as anything else. And executives simply are not paying enough attention to these threats. So we hear about it all the time. Gee, I know I need to look at that. Gee, I need to understand that. It's a very, very big deal that you truly see that small business have become prime targets for the thieves.
So, Mark, you know, we talked about small business. We talked about, you know, why you should care, right? Those are, you know, two things that are really important. We also talked about some highlighted breaches. You know, the next step really is, you know, so now that we understand that there is a threat there and we understand that there's a threat for small business, you know, what does a small business do to ensure that they can provide, you know, types of security that will prevent these breaches? And also, can small business actually afford to do it? Maybe that's probably the next question.
I think they can do it pretty effectively, Sherman. And one of the things that we like to tell people is what's your obligation to protect your data? So we categorize it as confidentiality, that you need to understand and protect your data that's inside of your organization. You have to maintain the integrity of your data, that it doesn't have any bad elements or anything that's incorrect, so that you can get the data back. And that's the final issue, availability. So if you start with what is your obligation, again, confidentiality, integrity of that data, that it's reliable. Think if you're in the healthcare industry, you want to make sure that you are protecting the information that you're delivering, that it is accurate, and then that it is available if you need it in an emergency or anything along those lines. So what we suggest is in the planning side, it's going to happen, and it'll happen to different degrees. You may accidentally delete something, or you may be attacked by ransomware or get a virus. It happens, again, every single day. So we always suggest develop a plan before it happens, because it's much easier to follow a plan that you've read, that you've understood what you're going to do, and you've protected your data so that if something again happens, you can execute against the plan instead of wondering, uh-oh, what do I do today? So you want to develop a part of this plan is a timely and proper breach response, which we'll go into in a little bit further in our slides. And then you need to make sure you understand your processes and procedures to effectively implement your response. So there are many things that can happen to your business in regards to security, but you have to document how am I going to respond if this happens and that happens, because my ultimate goal is to help you stay in business and to mitigate the costs and to mitigate the disruption to your business. It's not about let's just develop a plan, put it on a shelf, look at it once in a while. It's make sure that you're properly protecting your business. And then ensure your employees understand their obligations. So we've all done some things like we develop a great process, we think this is awesome, and then we don't tell our staff. You need to tell your staff that they have to respond appropriately, and sometimes that is to say nothing. Particularly if the press finds out, it may not be appropriate for any of your team members to respond. So your staff need to understand what their business obligations are as well.
Mark, let me ask you this on that last, bullet point, you know, with the employees and doing these plans. Would you say that a plan, a you know, planning for the inevitable plan is as important as your business plan or your forecasting plans. Would you say that this cybersecurity plan would be as important as that?
I think so. I may take one step down because you obviously have to plan your business so that you're generating a profit, et cetera. But then it comes down to I have to protect that profit and I have to protect your reputation in the industry. So it becomes as important once you're a going concern and people know that you're doing well, that attracts, unfortunately, the attention of people that want to see otherwise happen. So Sherman, it can be secondary in the very beginning as you grow your business and become profitable. But quickly, especially if you're in a compliance area, you've got to understand what the regulations are and how you need to respond to them, because at that point, it is critical to your business. So one of the things that we talk about is inventory, classification, and documenting your assets, services, and support. So there's various business items that you need to look at to develop this type of plan. And so one of the things I like to do is, well, gee, Mark, that sounds great. Where do I start? So if you look at the items I've put up there, the systems, data, facilities, and people, these are the things that you need to plan for and be able to replicate and be able to make sure that they're secure. So let's start with our systems. You want to inventory and classify all systems. And that doesn't mean just your computer. It can also mean what processes that you're using. Are you using something in the cloud? Are you using a certain type of machine inside of your business? So which systems are most critical and contain sensitive data? And again, it's not just computers. If there's a device inside of your business, maybe you have a 3D printer, and maybe that's critical to doing demos for your clients. That just became a critical system for you to stay in business and to stay protected. You want to assign a job function to quantify and keep those systems updated. So that needs to be somebody's job and not as an afterthought. Making sure systems are patched, making sure that the right antivirus system is functioning, whatever needs to happen with those critical systems. And then we want you to document baseline configurations for those systems. The reason for that is if something gets stolen or something gets damaged, you want to be able to say, I've got that particular device, and it can be a computer or, again, a piece of equipment that you can then reprogram and get back up to speed very quickly. So if a copier is critical to your business, you want to make sure you understood what the IP address was, what was it color, was it black and white, etc., because, again, it's a critical element for your enterprise. And most importantly for me is identify your critical vendors and their support systems. You don't want to be scrambling, looking around for somebody's 800 number if there's a problem with a critical piece of software if you've had a data breach. You want to know who to call. You want to make sure that you have your support contract number ready to go so that there is no mistakes and you can get back to work faster and get things back in operation as quickly as possible.
Mark, you know, systems-wise, you know, I think some of our attendees today may be confused as to word systems and what it really encompasses. And I'm thinking that it probably encompasses not just the computers at your desk. I mean, it like you mentioned, printers. I would say that Wi-Fi access points, right? Bring your own device types thing. Could you elaborate a little bit on that?
You're absolutely right, Sherman. It's whatever is critical for your team or yourself to do their job. So okay, if Wi-Fi is critical, if your mobile phone is critical, I mean, I can state the simple items. People might say, well, of course the mobile phone is critical. Great. Then what do you do if something's wrong with your mobile phone? Can your customers continue to reach you? Can you figure out how to return voicemails? People just take certain devices for granted, like their laptop. Uh-huh. And if something happens, something simple, Sherman, like you drop it and it breaks. Well, that's critical. Can you do invoicing? Can you collect money? So that's when we say you want to plan for, and especially in a data breach, if something became compromised, you want to be able to go to a system that is not compromised and continue to function with your business.
That's a great explanation. Thanks a lot. Okay.
You bet. So one of the four that we're talking about is now data. So we want to inventory and classify all your data. So where is your data? So we have customers come to us and say, well, everything is inside of my office. And then we might say, well, but your CRM software is running in the cloud. So one of the places we start with identifying your data is it on premise? Is it in the cloud? Is it in your home? Is it in your office? Is it in an employee's home? All of these things need to be identified so in case of a breach and or loss of data, you can get back to business, because that's what we're all about, getting you back into business. Identify who's responsible for protecting the data. It's not enough just to say things are backed up and I've got it somewhere or it's on a hard drive. Someone must be responsible, and then they have to be held accountable for making sure that your data is protected. You also want to document access and permission to that data. So I don't want our viewers to think, well, everybody has access to it and it's okay because that helps me with our business. That may or may not be appropriate. You want to make sure that only people that need access to certain data can have access to it. Think credit card information. If you're billing your customers, you only want certain people to be able to view that, because then you can stay in compliance with PCI or payment card industry. So these are things that you need to take into account. It may be easier, it may be faster for you to say, yep, anybody can bill, anybody can get this done, but you have to document access to that. And then one of the things that people don't know about is shadow IT, or shadow processes that are happening inside your business. And we classify shadow IT as that you have certain specific processes and mechanisms for controlling your data, but I come in potentially as a new employee and go, you know what, I got this great app on my phone and it's gonna make me do my job a whole lot easier. I'm gonna start using it and customers are happy, yet my boss doesn't know I'm doing it, which means I'm now breaking one of the rules of being able to protect my data.
So that's really interesting about the data piece of it. And I think another thing to kind of think about is, you know, the other metric to mention is 60% of the SMB have a mobile workforce. And 40% of that actually allow their employees to bring their own devices. I think that a lot of companies that I've talked to in the past have employees and they work within the systems the organization allows them to work through, but they're always looking for a workaround. They're always looking, okay, well, I'm going to go over to Facebook, or I'm going to use a different, a different product or a different storage product for my information. And we're finding that alone, in regards to shadow IT and what Mark was just saying, that alone causes a lot of, you know, the potential breaches. With that particular thought, Mark, I'd like to ask you, and knowing that it's really the employees that are coming in and utilizing different avenues to get at information or store information, does that cause in your opinion, more avenues for, potential breaches?
It does. And sometimes this goes back, Sherman, to the employees just didn't know better. I'll tell a story about one of our customers. They communicate with their customers, their own customers, I should say, in a very specific manner, because there's protected data that's going back and forth. And they hired a new employee that said, well, there's a better way to do it. And as you said, there was a great little app. It worked really well. He was communicating with his accounts and everything was great. But what he didn't know was the compliance was not in effect for all of that data. So they were in a very tightly regulated industry, and this particular account manager was putting customer data somewhere that was not protected. So it was a potential data breach. It was a potential compliance breach. There was just a lot going on that the owner, once he found out, slammed the door on it really hard. And the employee actually felt bad. The employee was trying to do the right thing and take care of his clients. But he had employed this bit of shadow IT, as we call it, and the industry calls it, because the people in the organization weren't quite sure what he was doing. And once they found out, they explained to him, this is why you can't do it. And they actually found another piece of software that another person was using that they thought it was innocent, and it ended up being an innocent piece of software, and then they adopted it. So that was, there's a plus and a minus to this. The minus is you've got to be aware of what your employees are doing so that you can protect your data correctly. But you never want to shut them down and say you have to only use our tools and stifle, their ability to help you grow your business. But at the end of the day, you must be responsible for that. And that's why we say be very careful about shadow IT. So that leads me into people. They're one of your most important assets, and they can certainly help you in a breach, and they may be able to cause a breach. So when you're planning, it begins with leadership at the top. You need to develop roles and responsibilities for your team, and that's even if you're just a team of one, or you may have three people, you may have seven people thinking, well, what do you mean by individual roles and responsibilities? So you can give people the responsibility to make sure they're protecting what they're doing, because it's your business, it's your profitability. Make sure that they understand what they're supposed to be doing in the security sense of things. Make sure that your team is trained and prepared, and don't do this once and just forget about it. Leadership comes from the top. So if you're talking about it occasionally and they see you exercising control over your data and making sure that the backups are working correctly, they will take it seriously as well, which is what you want to do to protect not only your business, but also protect your people.
So Mark, let me ask you a question on the ensuring all individuals get trained. What would you suggest? You know, some people say, oh, once a year. I would advise different personally, but you know, you're really the expert here. So would you say it's once a month training, once a quarter, depending on the size of the business? How does the SMB, the small to medium sized business person, you know, schedule that out?
Sure. So we break it into a couple components. That we might do it once every 6 months, the big things that are happening, the big threats to the particular company. But then we recommend a monthly update that could be 5 to 10 minutes so that you know what is happening. Again, another story is we've had one of our customers get an email. It was a phishing campaign. That's with a P and an H for those that don't know. And the email appeared to come from the owner of the organization to someone that handles their books saying, I need you to send money to this particular person and wire it right away. I'm getting on the plane. Well, the bookkeeper was a little suspicious because she reads the monthly emails that we send out to people saying, be aware. And that we construe that as training as well. Take 5 minutes to see what's happening inside of your industry, and there are certain things that are industry-wide, of course, but there are things that can happen in specific industries that make you an attack. So we recommend the general training so people understand social engineering, people understand how the attacks might happen, and then a little bit of refresher so it stays top of mind is where we go with that one, Sherman.
Yeah, you know, here at Microsoft, we take security very, very, very seriously. And, you know, it's interesting that you're talking about the phishing campaign. Even us, even the employees here at Microsoft get these emails every now and again. And one of the things that we do is we actually report any suspicious emails right away. And we have, you know, quarterly trainings to kind of just keep us abreast of the latest knowledge, you know, of what's going on. And you know, I think employees here take it upon ourselves to actually learn about the latest you know, security breaches, and you know, we have emails that come in, and I always thought that was a good idea, maybe having an organization send out an email, you know, maybe even once a month, you know, beyond the training, to kind of say, hey, this is what's going on, a reminder. Would you suggest that would be kind of a good way to keep things bright and in the minds of the employees?
Absolutely. As well as follow it up with maybe some verbal, have you read that email? Have you looked at it? Because again, leadership comes from the top and you want your team to understand it is important. And one of the things I put up on the slide is what you mentioned, Sherman, you don't go it alone. You report emails that you think are suspicious so that people that are experts in what is happening can say, you know what, Sherman, really appreciate you notifying of this. This is a problem. So we recommend, depending on, you know, your vertical and the type of business you are, is get some external support as needed. And that may be legal counsel, public relations, insurance, law enforcement is required, cyber support, talk to your vendors, whatever the case may be. Is you don't have to do this on your own. You can get started and start the process of compiling all of your data and making sure your people are trained. But again, don't go it alone, because you may not develop the right process. And if you train people partially, you may have a false sense of security. And then people might say, gee, I just didn't know. I didn't have the right training.
Great.
So one of the other items is your facilities. And Sherman, a lot of people just don't think about it. Gee, I've got my building, I've got my home, it's fine. Well, you need to identify all of the facilities where you might be transacting business. And that, again, is your office, your home. If you work for some reason at a Starbucks because you want to work there on Mondays, that's great. But just identify your facilities Identify the owners of those facilities. What can you use? How is that facility protected against breach physically? Do you have things like, do you have an alarm system? Is there a way to make sure you're tracking who's coming in and out of your building? And so you want to restrict access. You may do something as simple as putting a safe in your office so that you're restricting, you're putting a door lock on so nobody can walk into your office, and you put a safe in to protect your information. So facilities are important as well.
I'll tell you, you know, one of the things that I, you know, when I was a partner before I came here to Microsoft and I was advising clients in cybersecurity, it seems like most SMBs seem to think that they have to provide Wi-Fi access, you know, for guests when they come in. And it just seems like, okay, well, just we have to do it. However, most of those access points actually lead right into the networks. And it really poses a real cybersecurity threat, I think, to you know, their internal resources. So one of the things that I would always suggest was that if you feel like you have to give Wi-Fi access to your guests or people coming in to meet with you, is to actually have a separate internet connection that was just solely for that Wi-Fi access. And I think DSL is cheap, you know, you can do it for, you know, relatively inexpensively. And you're not, you know, giving access to, you know, fiber access to someone who's a guest. I would suggest that quite a bit, so that now your own network is completely secure and not having an access point where somebody can come in and get through that, because typically those access points have, you know, very little security. You know, just I'll throw it back over to you, Mark. What do you think about, you know, that advice and giving that to the SMB?
Yeah, I think it makes sense. Absolutely, Sherman. You just don't want to have anybody on your network that doesn't need to be there. It just needs to be closed, protected, so only for your staff to use, or if you're a sole proprietorship, just for you to use. And you need to be careful because regulations can come into play. So when you say, gee, I want to give somebody access to my to the internet, well, if you're in taking credit cards, that may not be authorized. You may have to have something separate set up for people to have access to the internet that are not your staff, so that they can't have access to any credit card information that you have currently stored in your databases. So it may be just a good thing to say, but it's also, what are the regulations that are compelling you to behave in a certain way? There's always best practices, and people may or may not adopt them. Of course, we recommend what you say, Sherman, but then there's regulations that come into play that may force you to go down a certain route.
That's great.
So again, to go back onto the regulations, you must understand your regulatory landscape, and you may be compelled to do certain things if you're in if you have HIPAA or if you have payment card industry, and you must understand those obligations, because ignorance is not a defense. You have said that you're going to be compliant if you started taking credit cards, because you sign a form or you do some due diligence. If you're doing things with HIPAA, etc., you must protect patient healthcare information, or PHI. And it's just your obligation, and you can't just say simply, I didn't know, because that's not an excuse. You have to coordinate your defense and response. So if you're sharing any of this information, you have to make sure that your vendors are compliant as well. You don't just want to hand somebody a piece of paper and say, here's this credit card information, please bill it on my behalf. And I know that sounds kind of stupid, like who's going to do that? But we've seen instances of people writing down information, and it immediately breaks the regulations that you're responsible for. And you need to document any incidents like that. So you have to make sure that you are prepared. So things will happen to your business if you're regulated, and it's really important that you are prepared. Again, it's what we tell people all the time. Let's plan some. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure is the standard cliche. But if something happens, you have to document it. You have to make sure you follow the rules that are specific to your governing body.
You know, I think the regulation piece is really, really important, especially PCI, payment card industry. If you're taking information from, you know, your clients that has to do with their banking information, there's very strict guidelines, and you need to be PCI compliant, and the fines are just enormous. And that's partly in why, you know, 60% of all small businesses go out of business, you know, with the first 6 months. Is because they, you know, may have been so out of compliance that they no longer are allowed to take credit cards. Imagine that if you actually had to go and only, you know, go to a cash business. So, you know, the next thing that, we need to talk about is the types of data breaches. And I think that the masses really don't hear about a lot of these. I think what they typically hear about are some of these political type of, you know, data breaches that we've, you know, we've all heard about. You know, some, you know, organization doesn't like another organization and, you know, says, you know, we're going to go ahead and hack them and hack their web page and put up our own, you know, political ideology. But there's a lot of other ones out there, and this is really important to understand because a lot of these ones that you don't hear about are going to be in this next slide, and Mark's going to talk about them, but they're really important because they will affect you or could affect you in the very near future. Mark, would you kind of go into the types of breaches that are out there?
So absolutely, Sherman, there's quite a few things that can happen. And one of the things that you were talking about, they've actually coined a new term for it called hacktivism. And it's been around for a while, and that is someone that just doesn't like what you have to say or doesn't like your product. Whatever the case may be, they are malicious to the point of wanting to turn off your business. They don't want you to do what you are doing. And so there may be any number of reasons why people would come after you. And so hacktivism is a growing concern. But one of the biggest things that we've seen is just unauthorized use or disclosure of information. People may accidentally disclose things that they just shouldn't, like PHI or patient healthcare information. There may be malicious code that someone downloads. So we had an issue where an employee, not our employee, but one of our clients, would take their laptop home and let their son play on the computer a little bit and go to a website. And he was playing a game that involved points. And a little pop-up came up and said, gee, would you like 1,000 points more? And the little boy said, yeah, I want 1,000 points more. And he clicked OK. And he downloaded ransomware onto the computer. Now, it was detected, and we got an alert on it. And so we prevented things from happening. But something that simple and innocuous, you just literally turn your back for a few seconds, and somebody used your computer, and it's an issue. Again, something as simple as theft or loss of equipment. So you've lost something, you've lost the computer, and there's the financial loss. But was there data that was on that computer that needed to be protected? Or did you have it backed up? Or any other issues that may happen with you losing that particular piece of equipment?
Can you go back a little bit more into ransomware? Because I think people have gotten this, and just a little bit more into that, because that is one of those things that happens to you that just wants to, you want to pull your hair out.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. So what happened with this particular customer was they downloaded a piece of software, and then all of a sudden the computer rebooted, and up came a screen that looked really official and said, we have encrypted all of your data, and we need you to send some money or a Bitcoin to this particular address, or you're going to lose your data forever. And Sherman, they actually put a timer up on the screen, and they gave the person 72 hours, and it started to just count down to you were going to lose all your data. And it was actually a pretty professional looking screen. They had thought it out a little bit, and it sounds horrible, but they actually had a customer service desk. So we probed them a little bit and said, gee, we've lost this data. How can we get it back? And they emailed us back within a few minutes. And they said, here's where you need to send the money, and it was a non-traceable way. But what ransomware is a piece of software that just goes to your computer and encrypts all the data and makes it all unavailable to you. So you would potentially lose all your QuickBooks data, so all of your billing, all of your invoicing. If you use Excel, all of your Excel documents, Word, etc., or any application that's on your computer, they're going to encrypt all that, and then it requires a long password, and if you don't give them their money, they're not going to release your data. And it's happened to police departments. So if you think, gee, I'm too small, or it can't happen to me, it happens all over the place. And healthcare providers have lost data to it as well. It's extremely malicious, and they do it just to hijack your money. And people don't understand that if I was going to send out some ransomware, Sherman, I could send it out to maybe 5,000 people, and maybe a few hundred people get hacked, and I make $500 roughly on those few hundred people. Mm-hmm. I've done really well. I mean, unfortunately, it's horrible to say, but I've done really well for maybe a couple of days' work. I've now got $10,000, $20,000 in the bank. But how many businesses have I destroyed? How much data have I gone through for the people that didn't want to pay me or didn't have any backup?
Where's the money go? I mean, is it here? Is it going to a bank account, you know, at a local bank?
Well, they transfer it via systems that are not traceable. Like Bitcoin, it's a non-traceable currency transfer, or they tell you to get there's various mechanisms to get that money out of the traceable banking system. They're not going to ask you to wire it, obviously not going to ask you to send a check, but because they want their money quickly, and they'll enforce that timer. And it was kind of funny because we were just put the network up and we put the PC up on our protected network. We watched the timer go down and the screen would change colors, getting more and more progressively red, and then saying, you're going to lose your data, pay us now, or you're going to never get this data back and you're going to go out of business. So they understood that, and it was unfortunate, but the customer had a strong business continuity solution, so all we did was just wipe the notebook and reload their data, and they were happy.
That's good. That's good. You planned. They planned.
They planned.
That's fantastic.
They knew it was going to happen. Something as simple as denial of service or distributed denial of service, that may be somebody just blocking your use of the internet. And that can happen to a large company. Maybe you have a big event that's going to happen, and a lot of people are going to come to your website, and they're going to learn about what's happening in your business. And then somebody says, I'm going to shut down your website provider by having several thousand computers go after that particular website. And so they want money. It's blackmail. Pay us money, and we will not attack your website. So these are all examples of things that can and will happen to companies today, yesterday, going forward. I don't mean to laugh about it. It's just I hate to see it happen, but it does, and you've got a plan for it.
Fantastic.
So the next thing I wanted to go through is we've done a little bit of planning. Well, let's talk about breach. So what is a breach? People sometimes don't truly understand what will happen when you have to respond to an incident. You've got to understand what it is. So that's an event that has the potential to adversely impact the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of any of your resources. So remember a little while ago, we talked about you must keep your data confidential, only authorized people can see it. You must have strong integrity that you can rely on it when you go to use that data, and it has to be available. So if one of those things is it's not confidential, that's a big deal, especially again in compliance. We also, if you've been breached, an investigation may need to happen. And that could take many forms. It could be just internal, that it was not a compliance breach, that you didn't give up credit card information, but you want to analyze what happened. And then breach truly means was protected data compromised. So a very simple breach is you had several hundred credit cards inside of your database. Somebody attacked you, stole those credit cards, and posted them on the internet saying, these are the credit cards that are available. They probably wouldn't actually post them on the internet. They'd sell them because they have financial value. So you have to understand what a breach actually is before you can plan for it correctly and then mitigate it when something does happen. So breach indications. Unfortunately, a lot of people find out that they've been breached months into the actual breach. So again, you may think, gee, something's wrong, something's not quite right. You now have to do some forensics to go back, when did the breach actually happen? And an indication of that may be the compromise in the custody and control of your data. So I use those technical terms because you have to be protective, or the data must be in your custody. Someone hasn't stolen credit card information and put it out on the internet. It means it's completely in your control at all times. That was there malware? So the story we told about, unfortunately, the person that lent her notebook to her son, they downloaded malware, and it was a category of ransomware. So you have to make sure that data has not been accessed inappropriately. And the latest statistic I saw was that it may be 18 months before detection has happened. And it could be something simple as somebody hacked in, just wanted to see if they could get into your system, and then they left. And people may find out about that months later. Or someone has been constantly stealing your data, maybe taking some of your trade secrets or figuring out some of your processes, something as simple as your recipe. If you're in the baking business and you're a small business, that's something that you want to keep confidential, and somebody may just keep that information and then come back to the well as you improve your processes.
So, you know, the average time SMB under attack is 18 months. Let me ask you this. I think that a lot of organizations that are being breached, you know, with that type of attack are in a position where that cybersecurity breach is actually, they're actually utilizing their network or that computers to attack other people, right? And then let me ask you this. If they were to do that, would the organization that is the emails are being sent from to attack somebody else, would they be liable for something that happens to another organization because of that?
Sure, it's possible, and I won't. Okay. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on TV. But it's highly likely, and the situation you're describing is called turning a PC into a zombie.
Okay.
That you're not actually trying to steal the data from that computer, but what you're trying to do is hide your tracks. And so if I can get into a company that may have 50 computers and I want to start sending illegal spam, or I want to start sending or attacking with, like I talk about, the denial of service, I can leverage myself. Instead of I'm just one computer or I've got a couple computers in my home, why not attack a few companies, get 5,000-6,000 computers under my control, and use them to do my bidding, for lack of better words. So it's you may be, and it's highly likely that you would be responsible, because if I use that information or I use those processes or those systems incorrectly, illegally, then I let you into my system and I'm responsible. The authorities would come knocking on my door going, why did you allow this to happen? What did you break? What was going on? So, which lends me to my last point, presence of your data in the dark web. So if you've got a friend in the IT business, you can ask him about the dark web. Not a lot of people are familiar with it. It's what information is available worldwide on the internet. You could go to any website and see information, but then there's data behind those publicly facing websites. And that's what we construe in a simple explanation of the dark web. So what is publicly available, you may go to a website and find information about a product, but then behind that website, there are database servers, there are web servers, there's a lot of information that that company is using to give you the information that you want. Take, for example, an insurance company or a bank. You can go to their publicly facing website, log in, and get your specific information, but behind that is all of their information. So what people will do, I alluded to it a little bit before, is they'll steal your information, put it out on the dark web, and people that know how to troll for that information go, great, there's somebody out there selling 500 credit card numbers, I'll pay you $2 per number, and I may sell that 3, 4, or 5 times and hope that a few of them work. So that's an indication of breach. If you see that data, or someone comes to you and says, gee, I thought you owned this company. I found all of your recipes if you were a baker. And that's actually a true story, Sherman. Someone was just stealing recipes. And people would think, it's not high tech. It's just how I make my cookies. Yet somebody wanted that information and was stealing it. So immediate steps. People always ask me, Mark, what do I do if I've had a breach? If you think a breach has happened, don't go it alone. Contact a cybersecurity expert so they can help you navigate what could be a perilous path, especially if you're regulated, if you have HIPAA or PCI or SOX compliance. You must reach out to a cybersecurity specialist and have them help you so you don't make a bad situation worse. You don't want to go in and say, I'm going to be my own doctor. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to follow through. I saw a slide presentation by Mark once. Let me do a little bit of planning. That's the wrong thing to do. Reach out to someone who's going to help guide you so you don't end up in worse trouble.
So, Mark, we understand the importance of, having reaching out to a cybersecurity expert. So a couple of questions. One is, what does a business do if they're breached? And can that crime be reported? And then who would you report it to? I think those are two very specific and very important questions.
Absolutely. So if a breach has happened, it's going to depend on your regulations, Sherman. If you've got to disclose that information, let's pick on HIPAA. If you've had a data breach, you've got to disclose it, and there are very clearly defined processes that you have to follow. Now, there may be another indication when someone has stolen information from you that's not credit cards, that's not patient information, but it could be theft, and you may have to report that to law enforcement. And that's when a cybersecurity expert's going to help you, because you don't want to be in the situation, Sherman, of, gee, I had theft, and I'm gonna report it to the cops, and they may very quickly tell you, do not disclose this to anyone else, because it will harm their ongoing investigation. Okay. So that's when a cybersecurity expert's going to tell you the right path and the right thing to do, because the last place you want to be is you had a breach, you told some people about the breach, but that compromised an investigation that should be going on by the police or the law enforcement agencies. Now they're upset at you for compromising their investigation of that breach, as well as you've still got to deal with the breach. So very important, if you think you've had a cyber breach, then you need to talk to an expert about it that's going to help you figure out the right way to report it. So again, just quickly, should law enforcement be involved? It's a good question. It's not a documented list that I can go through and give you bullet points about when you should and should not do it, but you're going to have to talk to a specialist, and they will tell you how to and what you need to do to contact law enforcement. So some of the options for small business: you've got many different devices and companies that offer security solutions. Spend some time, talk to some people. If you're very concerned about it, as you should be, and as your business grows, or you're in any type of compliance, if you take credit cards, you want to make sure that you're protected. So I've talked to some people that say, Mark, I'm only a single person, I take credit cards, but I do it through a protected system. Is there still a problem? Maybe, maybe not. Having a simple 1 hour conversation, have somebody walk through your facilities, talk to your people, even if that's just you. There's a lot of good solutions out there. Some are very inexpensive. There's even free antivirus available to you, something at the very basic level. Yes, we continue to see people that use our computers and don't put something as simple as free antivirus on their computer. And then they wonder, gee, I don't understand how my computer got ransomware or it got hacked.
You know, Mark, just talking about that next bullet point, mm-hmm. One of the things that I think for small business, now we have to, propose the disclaimer here that there are many different organizations that provide cybersecurity, prevention tactics and, hardware and software. And I think for a long time, small business, SMB, really kind of had that free antivirus. And that was like, okay, that's fine, right? And then if the small to medium-sized business person was interested in really, putting a security device, it was really expensive. I'm not going to mention the names, but there's a lot out there that are actually boxes they put in that kind of prevents traffic in and out. And those can be extremely expensive, one-time payments, or maybe a one-time payment with a monthly recurring charge. But Microsoft does have a viable software solution, and it's called EMS, which is Enterprise Mobility and Security, and it fully integrates currently with your current Office 365 environment. And it secures, and it's really a small business play, but with a caveat, there are a lot of organizations that do provide that. Could you just tell us, maybe a story of somebody who may have implemented EMS or something that reminds you of a good scenario for EMS?
Yeah, Sherman, certainly something that happened to us recently a few months back was a customer of ours had some critical financial information on her cell phone. She's the owner of the firm. She had Excel running on her cell phone, and she travels all over the country, and she likes to have it quick and available. Yes, she's got a notebook, and she uses it when she needs to, but she liked just to have that financial information available, and she was working on it. She got up to go use the restroom on the plane, came back, and kept using her phone, and then thought she put it down into her bag, and she didn't, and she left the plane and left her cell phone on the plane with confidential information on it. So people may think, well, gee, she's got a password on it. There's ways to get through simple mobile device passwords. And she was in a panic. She said, gee, I've lost my phone. The airline couldn't find it. But in fact, when she finally realized that she was at the taxi stand, and they went back and looked at the plane, and the phone was gone. So she was in a panic. She called us from her colleague's phone and says, what do I do? Well, we had put software on her phone, and we had some EMS capability for her that we just wiped the phone. If anybody were to turn it on or gain access to it or connect, we just said that phone needs to be wiped as soon as it was going to get internet access. And we had encrypted the data on there as well. So it was going to be very difficult for them to get the information. And what had turned into a, unfortunately for her, blind panic, and I felt bad for her blood pressure, we brought it all back down and she felt much more comfortable. We said, we had planned for this. We knew it was going to happen eventually. It's not your fault. Things happen, and you want to protect against things just simply happening.
Great.
So it was a real good option, and she was very happy that she had it.
Fantastic.
So quick overview that I'd like to go through, a couple of takeaways for you. Cybersecurity is a concern for all businesses, and I mean that sincerely, whether you're one person or you've got 10,000 people or larger in your enterprise, you have to take this very, very seriously. Small businesses are prime targets. You're doing things and you're profitable, and people want to take that money away from you. There are thieves online, literally, that want to steal money from you because they don't want to do what you're doing, and that's being productive and making money the correct way. You have obligations, and that is the confidentiality, integrity, and availability of your data. And you need to make that be very serious on your list of accomplishments, because that keeps you in business, those items. You should plan and make your employees aware of what you've done security-wise and make sure they're clear of what your processes are and what their responsibilities are. And develop a basic relationship with a cybersecurity expert. Find someone, have somebody available, say, look, I don't know if I need you right now. Can you come in? Can you talk to me? Can you give me some consulting? And find out, and you may be fine, and maybe just a couple of simple tweaks, but then you'll have developed that relationship with someone, so if it happens, you know exactly who to call so you can get some assistance. I put it down, complacency and procrastination are not your friends. Putting it off, doing it for the next day, waiting for the next day, it's just a bad place to be should a data breach happen to you. So a couple of next steps. Define your path to success. That's simple. Figure out what you need to do plan-wise. Put something in place. Take a look at the slides that I've put up on this presentation and get the process started. Find a trusted advisor that can help define your vulnerabilities and see what we need to do to create a plan, and then get some good technology in there to support your plan and implement it, verify it occasionally, make sure that it's still operational for your needs, and then you get some simple peace of mind by knowing you've done some effort, and it may be significant effort, to protect your livelihood, protect the livelihood of your employees, and keep your business healthy and running long term. So I just, Sherman, you were kind enough to let me put my contact information up. I'm glad if somebody's got any basic questions, I can reach out to them, and it's simple to get a hold of me.
Yeah, I mean, that Mark, keep this slide up here for 1 second. You know, you're an absolute expert in our industry, and you're helping quite a few organizations out here that I know of that are pretty large within the SMB marketplace. And when I say SMB, I keep saying that acronym, small to medium-sized business marketplace. And I would just suggest that if you have any questions or any thoughts, please reach out to Mark. He's a dear friend of ours, and you can get him at mark@kmesystems.com or 949-462-7001 extension 110. So thank you, Mark. Really appreciate all of your time and your effort today. Moving on, you know, to wrap this up, you know, this is a very, very important subject, and we hope that you enjoyed the webinar today, and we look forward to hearing your feedback from us. We'll be sending out a link for you to fill out that we'll be raffling off software for one of the responses. So thank you from Microsoft. Thanks to you to the SBA and the folks over there, Christopher Lorenzana, Alberto Quijada, Cherie Coates, and thank you to the team here at the Microsoft Technology Studios. We'll see you on the first Tuesday of every month. Thank you so much and have a great day.
Thank you.